I am Nicole Sandler, filling in today for Montel Williams on Montel Across America. And joining me on the phone from Los Angeles, California, is Amy Simon. She is the host and the writer of the longest-running one-woman show in L.A. called Cheerios in My Underwear. You can find them at CheeriosInMyUnderwear.com. And Amy also lately has been sort of on a mission to help spread the word about the founding mothers in our country. We hear so much about the founding fathers, but never much about the founding mothers. So, Amy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Hi.
Hi. Now, you spent yesterday glued to the computer screen watching the women's conference, Maria Shriver. Now, is this related to the Shriver report that was released a couple of weeks ago, The Women's Nation Changes Everything?
Yeah, from what I can tell, well, this is the sixth annual women's conference, and they said yesterday that it sold out in a record-breaking 2 hours. I don't know the history of how they're intertwined, but I know that they are, and I believe that the women's conference must have inspired the Shriver report.
Right. Now, so give us an overview. What went on there yesterday?
It was a coming together. I'm not sure of how many thousands of women came together. And, of course, for your listeners, you can go to womenconference.org or californiawomen.org. They already have up on their website today highlights of the entire day, which is absolutely amazing, and I want everyone to watch it. I want it to be piped into every girls' room and ladies' room in America because it is so empowering and inspiring. It's just about bringing women together to deal with the issues of women today. Basically, what I got out of it was combining motherhood with career, or just being a woman living today in a woman's nation. And they had icons of our country, everybody here. They had amazing speakers, and they had the governor, they had Maria, they had Katie Couric. They had, again, if your listeners want to go to their website, they give you an entire agenda, and you can click and listen to all the speakers.
Okay. Now, so let's back up a little bit, though, because, you know, before the break, I was talking about how women stand in the way of insurance company profits. You know, continuing the conversation on health care reform, being a rape victim, being pregnant, birth control, if you've ever had a C-section, or God forbid, you've ever suffered domestic abuse, those are things that insurance companies are getting away with calling either pre-existing conditions or deciding not to cover. They'll cover Viagra for men, but not birth control pills for women. If you've been a victim of domestic violence, you're considered to have had a pre-existing condition.
Yes.
And in eight states in the District of Columbia, insurance companies are within their rights to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition.
Right. I heard Michelle Obama addressing that a few weeks ago in a press conference. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think everyone's up in arms about it. I don't know what's being done about it, but yeah, it's just insane.
So we have that. Even though the Lilly Ledbetter Act was passed, women are still making about 77 cents to the male dollar for doing the same work. So was the overall mood of this event yesterday more positive, or was it saying, look, we've still got all these problems?
I'm telling you, it was amazingly positive. I felt like I took drugs yesterday watching this thing, and I didn't. Honestly, there was so much adrenaline and energy and positive coming out of my computer watching this live. And I think it's something, I feel this when I perform my show, Cheerios in My Underwear, or I do a Motherhood Unplugged show where I get moms to come together and talk, you know, read their essays on motherhood. There is something about being in a room with a bunch of people that share your feelings, your thoughts, your struggles, your dreams. There's something just unbelievable about that live energy, and that's what happened, I believe, yesterday. I wasn't there. I wanted to be there, but it was just as good watching it. And I believe that the whole point of it is to raise awareness and dispel this culture of women being second-class citizens, which still exists today. And the thing that I took away, too, which was a lot of things, was that our younger women, and I have two daughters and you do, too, they do not live with the same sense of they have to try harder because they're a woman. That was a terrific thing that came out of the conference, which I have already felt with my daughters. But we had Madeleine Albright, one of the speakers, and some older women, and even Warren Buffett was in a panel with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
And they addressed that. Yes, it was so fascinating. It was the most amazing group of people that Maria Shriver brought together. But they did address how it is so different today than it was back then. And, of course, for me as the historian, which is how I refer to myself, the issues that they brought up about, a lot of them were just about the day-to-day struggle that women are doing more. And I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but what actually did inspire the Shriver Report was that a new census came out that identified women as being more than 50% of the breadwinners in America. And this is a new thing. And that's what inspired the Shriver Report. But it's always been a struggle for women to have any type of a career and take care of their family, and how that always falls on the women. And what I loved about this conference was that's exactly what they addressed. They went straight to the heart of it. And they had one panel with David Gregory hosting, and Claire Shipman was on it, and I'll have to get to my notes, but they addressed that too. And it, we heard from the men's point of view, what do men expect of women, and how do we deal with this shift in economic power? And of course, it is ironic because women are still not making the same amount that men.
That's right.
And other things came out of it too, that we women, we have a different, Madeleine Albright addressed it as well, that we have a different need to be with our children more, or we see that the kitchen is dirty more, and we see that things need to be done more.
Amy Simon is with us. I love it. She's a historian, and we'll get to more of the specifics of what went on in this conference yesterday. Nicole Sandler in for Montel Williams today, and we'll be right back. This portion of Montel Across America is brought to you by the Living Well Card. Details are available at livingwellcard.com. I am Nicole Sandler in today for Montel Williams, who's enjoying some family time. See, he understands the necessity of taking care of the woman in his life. See, so they're off, I think, cruising the Caribbean or something. And Amy Simon is with us. Amy Simon is a historian. She writes and talks about not only the founding mothers of this nation, but about the status of women in today's world. And that's been in the news a lot lately because Maria Shriver just a couple of weeks ago issued the Shriver Report, A Woman's Nation Changes Everything. And just yesterday hosted a big women's conference in California with all kinds of very important people attending. And Amy, so during the break, the producer, Montel's producer, Michael Pelka, asked me, so as a man, why does this interest me? And I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to ask you that question.
Okay, does he ever want to have a family?
He has. He's married, and I would think he'd
get his wife in on the conversation.
Yes.
We? So he's got a family.
Mike, come on, hop on the microphone.
Well,
here.
Hello, Amy.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm great, and I'm one with four sisters, a fantastic wife, and I think a good relationship with women in my life. But my question to Nicole was, so the rest of the show, what's in it for me? And I think I'm a pretty well-balanced male, but I wanted to know and understand the seminar and how it related to a guy. Apparently, men were invited, as Warren Buffett and Arnold Schwarzenegger were there, but would there be
and
information?
And Richard Branson.
Would there be information?
There were all kinds of men there. Yeah.
Okay,
because
good.
And it's great that you're bringing this up because it is a family issue, and it's about incorporating everybody into the mix. When one person in the house works outside the house, then what happens to all the stuff inside the house? like the children. And it just seems to be left to the women all these years that men get priority about their needs. And David Gregory was asking the exact same thing. And I'm just going to answer in a quick nutshell, because Madeleine Albright gave the best answer when he said, what is it that we want? What do women expect of us? What's in it for us? That whole type of question. And it's respect. Respect for the choices that women make.
Respect and not only that, yeah, and let me just add, Mike, I'm shocked that you even asked the question, because I would think most men would want to know how women are faring in this world and their role in either what's oppressing women or making life better for them.
Well, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked that a man finally asked directions, because it does happen, and that's the important thing.
We do have a curiosity into
what's going on, and we read the report because we did a story on it last week here, so I was familiar with the initial report. But I was just curious.
Can I ask you some questions, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Do you have any children?
No.
Do you want children, even though it's none of my business?
No, thank you.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that changes a few things. But right. Tell me, if you don't mind me asking, and if I get personal, just call me on it. But does your wife work outside of your home?
She works. She's a writer.
She's a writer.
Yes,
okay.
So she works at home.
That's great. Then that makes it a little easier. So you both earn money.
Yes, we do. But there have been times, as you know, as a performer and a writer, when both of us have not been.
Yeah. Okay, so is there a bunch of food in your refrigerator right now?
There's a bunch in the basement because we fear Armageddon.
Okay. But honestly, did you guys eat dinner last night?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And we ate dinner together.
So I guess what you see I'm getting at is, share?
I cooked.
Do you share in the house? Pardon?
I cooked dinner and I cleaned.
Do you have a brother? No.
Yeah, four.
Wait, four brothers and four sisters?
Yeah, I'm one of nine.
Okay, so think about your mother for a while here. And look at how, when you were growing up, what she did. Did she work outside of the house?
With nine children, there was obviously no room to work outside of the house. She was like running the Von Trapp family.
I understand.
Right,
now
she was running a business.
Yeah.
She was. But, however, she didn't accrue anything in Social Security or Medicare income. And yet, do you know what her work was valued at? Amy, I know you can answer this one.
Yep. Couple of hundred thousands of dollars. First of all, did your mom have any college education?
My mom was a teacher before she started having children.
Okay, well, Anne Credendon, who's a New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner and economist, she wrote a book called The Price of Motherhood, Why the Most Important Job on Earth is the Least Valued. And she computed that women who are even somewhat college educated, I have a couple of years of college, I don't have a degree, and opt out or off ramp or give up their career, stay home to raise the family, that she computed their earnings loss to be at least $1 million over a lifetime. And that was a couple of years ago. So your mom gave up earnings that she will never be able to recoup. And of course, I did the same thing. I stayed home to raise my girls, and I say that my children are my resume and my legacy and are going to, take care of you when you grow old. So I'm very proud of it. But in economic terms, it was financial and economic suicide.
And then
I can't get that money back.
Right.
And my Social Security was affected. And now when I'm reentering the workforce, and if your mom, did your mom ever reenter the workforce?
No, she lives with my dad in his retirement and her retirement from raising kids.
Right. See, now that was wonderful. And there's another wonderful book on the market, Leslie Fishman, called The Feminine Mistake, which is a play on The Feminine Mystique, which is a groundbreaking feminist book from the 70s. But in her book, Leslie Bennett's book, The Feminine Mistake, she says, depending on a spouse, whether it's male or female, but in today's world, mostly the men, are the breadwinners until now. Touch wood, your mom got to spend the rest of her time with her dad, but if, God forbid, something happened to him and she could not depend on his retirement, if there was a divorce, some addiction in the family, if something happened and that was taken away from her, which happens all the time. So she was lucky and in the minority. She would have been financially screwed, because trying to reenter the workforce as a working parent, and I have to say, if you don't mind making a leap, they addressed this yesterday in one of their sessions with Richard Branson and Sheila Bair and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they talked about a new law in Norway, which is mandate that on companies, businesses must employ 50% of women on their board. And it started an interesting discussion because we were asked, well, do we think we should have that law here that women should automatically be put on a board just so that it's in, so that they make a quota? And of course, it started an interesting conversation because, as Sheila Bair said, well, women should earn it, and I think that's low. I think that 70% of women are more than capable of earning their own way to get on the board. But what pissed me off, if you don't mind me saying, was that they didn't really address the true issue, which is maternal profiling. That never even came up yesterday, and it was a convention and a conference filled with hope and empowerment and inspiration, and it was great. But
you know, speaking of maternal profiling, by the way,
yeah,
Amy Simon is with us. There's and you and I sort of had this exchange via email on Desperate Housewives. there's a storyline where Lynette is working at a company and her friend is also her boss, and he explains that she's being promoted because the other woman he was considering to promote just found out that she's pregnant, and he knows that, you know, that he's going to be better off having a woman who's not pregnant in that position. Meanwhile, Lynette is pregnant with twins but hasn't told anybody yet. This is a legitimate challenge that women face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. And I did watch the second episode. I was very excited that they brought it up. It's for a little backstory. It's a nighttime soap opera.
Right,
but
of course.
She was the breadwinner in the family. She had three kids at home with her husband, and they have a really terrific, they portray their marriage as so equal. It's beautiful. I really love it. But he was about to go back to college. And he was the stay-at-home dad, and she finally got back into the workforce after all those years. And she tried and tried and tried and tried, and she got her neighbor to give her a big, fat job. So that was great. So now she finally is being able to earn money for her family, and she finds out, oops, she's pregnant and with twins, and she doesn't want to tell her boss. So the scene is he comes in, he goes, hey, Lynette, how would you like a parking space closer to the garage? She goes, oh, what do you mean? And he's like, well, how would you like to be my new VP? Well, gee, I don't know. And he's like, oh, double your salary. And she's thinking, I can see it thinking, oh, I can send my husband back to college. She goes, okay, yeah. She goes, hey, what happened to Judy? I thought you were going to give Judy the promotion. Oh, well, I overheard her on the phone that she's pregnant. And, you know, I don't want to put up with morning sickness and doctor's visits. And she goes, gee, isn't that illegal too? She goes, yeah, but who's going to tell anyone, my new VP? And she's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Cut to the next week. I couldn't wait to see how they were going to dress it. And there, the first opening scene is Lynette is trying to get dressed, and her boobs are huge. And
right, because that happens when you get pregnant, yes.
And so the whole show was about her trying to hide her boobs, except that she kept wearing completely low-cut blouses with her boobs, you know. So it turns out that her boss finally says, oh, Lynette got a boob job. So he's in her office, and he goes, look, Lynette, I know your secret. She goes, you do? Oh, my goodness, I didn't know how to say it. And he goes, well, you know, I'd love you to get my wife on board. And they have this whole scene where she thinks he's saying, I want my wife to have another baby. She goes, but she already has two. He goes, yeah, but, you know, they're not so great.
Right, and the whole thing. And then it went on, though, where he's trying to capitalize on her big boobs because men are so obsessed with women's breasts.
Right. He says, you have to come to this meeting and nail this client. They're in love with your chest. And so she's like, great, I'm a hooker now.
Right. Here we are going off about this whole thing on Desperate Housewives, but it's very indicative of the way things work in the workplace.
And that's
she has to hide her pregnancy, and she's got to play up her big boobs because that's what men care about.
Right. And
so,
having a conversation yesterday with Richard Branson and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they're talking about, you know, quotas. But the reality is the reality. And if you go to momsrising.org, they will give you the real deal, the real statistics. If you and I, Nicole, are sitting, getting interviewed for a position, or you, Mike, and we all three have exactly the same credentials, I might even have more than you. I might have more experience. I might be smarter. But if I have kids, bada boom, I'm out of the picture because I'm not going to get hired as quick. They do not want to hire mothers. We're busy. We have to leave school and go get our children, and we have to take care of things. And that's the reality.
Well, thanks for making a gross generalization about all men. I do think that condition existed in the past, but I don't know if it's
not
quite
about men.
Fair.
It's about business.
Yeah,
it's
but,
not about men.
But
and,
you're
and
throwing
and running
the blanket
the
on all of us.
No, and it absolutely does exist today, and that's the point. We may think that things have gotten better. Things have gotten better, but the situation still exists today. And that's why it's important that we have these conversations. And that's why it does apply to men as well as women, because you need to know that this still happens day in and day out. Hey, in the workplace, even in the most liberal, most progressive workplaces, men still you know, we'll look at women's breasts. And if, God forbid, they're huge, you will have to say, excuse me, eyes are up here, not down there. And it still happens day in and day out. And although we're talking about something that went on in a nighttime soap opera, those kind of situations do happen today. And applaud the people at Desperate Housewives for having this storyline.
Yeah, have to tell you a story that Richard Branson told. And Mike,
okay, you know what? Hold on, because we'll do it after the break. We got to take a break. Amy Simon is with us. She is a historian, and she covered yesterday's women's conference in California. We'll be back with Amy Simon. I'm Nicole Sandler in for Montel Williams. Don't go away. Nicole Sandler in for Montel Williams today on Montel Across America. And we are speaking about issues affecting women. We talked about the Shriver report that was issued a couple of weeks ago. Well, another report was issued that didn't get as much press, but is equally, if not more important, issued by IAVA, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and it's called Women Warriors, a groundbreaking report on female troops and veterans released by the IAVA. And one of the issues that they talk about is a stunning statistic, 30%, one in three women who are serving in the military overseas has been raped by their male colleagues. And that's an issue I'm going to deal with on my nighttime show on Air America Radio, probably one night next week. And you can check out the Nicole Sandler Show page at airamerica.com or my blog at radioornot.com for info on when that's going to happen. But back to Amy Simon, who is a historian. I love that. I love that. She hosts a show in Los Angeles called Cheerios in My Underwear, and you can get more of her information at cheerioseinmyunderwear.com. Amy, before the break, you were about to tell a story from yesterday's women's conference.
But I want to tell you, yeah? I will, Nicole, but Eve Ensler, who was one of the speakers yesterday at the conference, she told that statistic about our women in our Air Force, and you should try to get her on.
Oh,
because
I will.
She's all over it. She's all over it. Mike, is Mike still with us?
Yeah, Mike.
You. And tied into that same discussion, you must support the Franken bill, which is working its way through the House now and runs the risk of not getting passed. But we need to all focus our efforts on that.
I think she mentioned something about that. But, you know, I want to tell you that I think it's great that you're an evolved man and that you're very lucky to be an American evolved man.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I want you to understand, because I don't think you do, that women in our country and in our world are extremely underrepresented. There's only 20% of women in Congress. There are only two women on the Supreme Court, which is, you know, fantastic. And Gina Davis was one of the first speakers yesterday at the conference, and she has a new organization called CJane.org, where they have done studies, and women are completely stereotyped. In the worst case are G-rated movies, where girls, there's one girl for three guys, and the girl characters are hypersexualized, their body images screwed up. You know, you watch TV and you see it. So I wanted to just bring that up to let you know that it's great that you see things the way you do, Mike, but you are an evolved, lucky American man. And what's going on around the world, which is a typical story that Sir Richard Branson told, was that he was asked to come speak in Saudi Arabia. And right before he was about to speak, he was told there were 10,000 men in the audience, and he was told that the women were behind a screen in the corner in the back of the room, which is how things are done over there. And so when he got up to speak, I believe what he said was, as is the custom, I believe, you know, when in Rome, and blah, 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 but I can't believe you've let all the men take the best seats and put the women in the corner. And the whole, he said, there was deathly silence from the men. But from the back of the room, in the corner of the room, we heard screaming and cheering, and things were being thrown up in the air by the women in the back in the corner. Mm-hmm. And what got me about this story was that is exactly how it is around the world, especially in these third world countries where women are, you know, raped and mutilated. And oh my goodness, we could talk for a long time about it. But this is how the women's movement in America started, Mike, because way back in the 1800s, when women were trying to be abolitionists and fight for freedom and to give the slaves, you know, free slaves, they would go, this is exactly what happened to Lucretia Mott, who's an early mother of the women's movement. She went to an anti-slavery meeting and she tried to speak and they said, no, 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 go in the back and be quiet. So she started her own anti-slavery movement. Then she got a female anti-slavery movement, and abolition is what really helped the women's movement even be born. Then she goes over to London in 1840 because there's a World Anti-Slavery Commission where she meets Elizabeth Cady Stanton. So there they are over in London at the anti-slavery, and the same thing happens. They have this, they spend like an hour, the men, saying the women can't be part of this. Put them behind the screen. Get them out of here. And it was called the Woman Question, which went on for years and years. And so it took them 8 years. That was in 1840 in London, where the women were told to go behind the curtain and be quiet. And 8 years later, they all met in Seneca Falls, and that's where the women's movement actually started. So I love that you think this is, you know, that you don't see it the way the reality is, but unfortunately the reality is women are marginalized and stereotyped and all of it. And this conference yesterday brought a lot of that to light, but it also applauded and celebrated the women that are making change. The theme of it was Architects of Change. And again, what inspired this particular one was that women are now the breadwinners, but the workload at home hasn't changed that much for the women. And those are the issues that were addressed. And I'm really glad you don't have that in your life, Mike. But I double
but
triple
a lot of men
dare
do.
You.
Yes.
I double dare you, the next time you're on a checkout line in a supermarket, you start asking a woman, did you just get off work? Do you have any kids? Who's making dinner? Who did the laundry? Who's going to the kids' meeting? Who's doing PTA? Are you baking cookies for snack? Find out.
I'm not allowed to talk to women at the supermarket.
Well, then we need to talk to your wife because there's a problem there, too. Amy Simon, it is always a pleasure. You can find Amy at CheeriosInMyUnderwear.com. You can find the Women's Conference at CaliforniaWomen.org. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's been my pleasure to fill in for Montel Williams today on Montel Across America. We will do it again tomorrow. So thank you for listening, and have yourself a wonderful day.